Right. Good morning, everybody. All right. Good morning, all of you all. Thank you, Pastor, for the very gracious introduction. It's really a privilege to stand in front of all of you all to just share, and I'm excited, really. You know, like Pastor say, miracle, believing in the supernatural, believing in divine intervention is something which is very close to my heart. And me together with my husband is called Pua, okay? People call him Brother Pua, Teacher Pua, Mr. Pua, you know, that's how they address him, but they just address me Sufi. Okay, so you know how, you know, the difference is, you know, one formal, official, one just casual, okay? So that's where I am, okay? Continue to be casual with me. All right, me together and with my husband and a team of us, Peggy Dennis, Peksim, Lily Tu, Nitya, Serene, Sume, and this group of us, we have this ministry called the Healing Ministry, and we have been praying for people for many years now. And God has been really good to us. God has really shown, you know, how He has been involved with lives after lives. And today I'm here to just let you know that this God that we believe in, this God that is in our heart, is God that is real. And He's in our midst today. And He is doing work, although you may not be able to see, you may not be able to feel, but God is at work. So just let me start with a word of prayer, okay? I want to involve God in us, with us, and I want God to move in our midst, okay? Whether you have come with whatever kind of mindset, God is able to break that, all right? Father, we thank You for today, Lord. We are believing, Holy Spirit, Lord, that You are here in our midst. And God, that You are going to do a great work, God. And God, You are doing a work to point every one of us, oh God, to You, God, a God that is mighty, a God that is just so gracious, a God that is so near to us, and that, Lord, that this is who You are. And that, Lord, that You are with us the same. You were years ago, and now, and the days to come, You remain the same. Father, we thank You, God, that You would just speak to us that specific word, oh God, that will so just go so pierce so deep into our hearts, oh God, that we will be reminded, that we will be reinforced, God, in our faith in You. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, I'm going to go real fast, yeah? 11:45 already. I just want to share with you, to let you all know that whatever miracle or whatever miracle that we have experienced, whether it's big or small, they are significant. May not be significant to your friend or anybody else, but it is significant to you because God is involved, all right? If you go through the Bible again and again will... Okay, so this one, it says, so do you believe in miracle? Okay, so like I said, you see, miracle happens to us all the time. Okay, whether you are aware of it or not, miracle may be an instant miracle. A miracle may be something that is a process, right? Now, if you look into the Bible, okay, the Bible has got in the Old Testament, the New Testament, again and again, you know, miracles after miracles, you know, which is about what? To reveal that God is real. Okay, if you look from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, whether your situation is something that involves financial, heavily in debt, the Bible has a miracle to that. In the Old Testament, there was this lady, the widow, husband passed on, had a huge debt that was left behind. Elijah came and said, "What do you have in your house?" He said, "He has one jar of oil." And what happened? Elijah said, "Go get more jars, fill it up, sell it." There was a settlement of debt. A miracle can happen, whether it's financial, it can happen. Whether it involves the storms and the weather that is beyond your control and my control, God is able to steal it. There was a storm, and what did Jesus do? Jesus spoke the storm, and it was still. Is this something that is beyond? Yes, it's supernatural. It's a divine intervention. Talk about healing. Okay, you may be lame, you may not be able to see, you may be just stricken with sicknesses. God say, be healed, walk. Again, you know, when the people were demon-possessed and came begging Jesus, you know, to heal the daughter, to heal the son, Jesus spoke to the evil one, spoke to the unclean spirit, rebuked him, come out, and left. So miracles are things, whichever situation, a condition that you are in, it is possible. Talk about emotional instability. Talk about mental health. There was this man, short man, tax collector. People despised him. People just cannot accept him. He went up on a tree. He looked down. Jesus saw him. He was rich. He didn't have a physical infirmity. But Jesus healed him because emotionally, mentally, he was stricken with an esteem which couldn't make him live a life which is wholesome and complete. So I'm sharing with you all this to allow you to identify the which condition that you may be in. It is not impossible for God to work in your life. Bring nearer to current day. You may tell me, well, Sufi, all this are in the Bible, okay, that is just days gone by and, you know, it is just something which is so old, you know, I may not be able to identify. I want to bring you nearer home. Okay, I told you that we are in the healing ministry. So we pray for people, okay? And closer to my heart is my own daughter. So I've got two daughters. We have got two daughters, grown up, working now, one in the tech industry and another in the medical industry, you know, also doing a lot of healing, you know, through medicine, you know, onto different people. So our older girl was in US some years ago. And she was then at that point in time when this thing happened was, yeah, it may be something very small, but then I want you all to realize that however big or small, when you are in a situation which is trying, when you are in a situation which is stressful and everything seems to be caving in and you are about to throw in the towel, when a miracle, however small it may be, it becomes very significant because it just stirs you, it brings faith to you, it brings encouragement to you, it brings just that awe, you know, that God, you are here with me. So our girl then was in the US and then it was winter time and she was just so much, you know, of mental stress, you know, from the new job to having a problem with accommodation, you know, got apartment one, apartment two, got to pay apartment one, got to pay apartment two, got the logistic problem of having to travel, you know, 2 hours to work and things like that. And in the midst of it all, she had an accident, okay, because the road was frozen down in Chicago and then she banged into somebody's car, okay? So if you are in her position, you would think, God, it never rained but pour, okay? So when she called us, we said, what did you do? She said that I was just battling in my mind. Should I just walk away and just forget it? Because after all, the car is stationary and nobody in there, you know? Then I said, then what did you do? Okay, so I'm a bit anxious here. So you put a note, if you put a note there to say that contact me at your sailor, next day you got to pay money already because the person may ask you to compensate, right? And then if you don't know your Christian principle, you know, need to be honest, okay? Christian, and then here is a mom has taught her, you know, to honor, to be, you know, to live a life that is good. Okay, so that's the kind of conflict, and I don't know whether your parents go through that, okay? So every time when we tell our children, we also have our own standard, which also we debate, right? So anyway, so then I was just waiting to hear, hoping that she do something right. Okay, also not sure whether, you know, that doing that thing right then will cause, you know, more hardship to her or not. Okay. And then people say that you have money, money solve all kinds of problems. But if you got no money, it is a problem, leh. Okay, but you got no money, that little money you have, you got to pay so many things, it becomes a problem. Okay, that's for me, I don't know about y'all. Okay. So anyway, she says she put a note there to ask the person to contact her. So then what happened? The time goes so fast. So then what happened? So that day one, nothing happened. So very happy. So she called. I said, didn't call mommy. Okay. All right. Day two, call already. The guy called. Then the person said this to her. You know, so she was so anxious. So let it not be a big amount that he's going to ask me to compensate. You know? Then what happened? Then the guy said, this is Thanksgiving season, right? And since you are so honest, you know, I will get my friend who is a mechanic to look at it, okay? But not sure, you know, how much it would be. But anyway, I think I will just let you go. Okay, for her, that is a miracle. I don't know about y'all. For me as a mom, it is also a miracle because then, you know, it is really a challenge, lah, you know. Okay, you agree with me now, it's a challenge. It is small, right? It is small. It may not be significant to somebody that has got plenty of money. Okay, you got money, pay lah. What is the challenge? What is the miracle that you need? But when you have got very little money, you know, and that money need to pay for so many things, yes, okay, it is a miracle. And I want you to know, okay, I'm not telling you this just to highlight anything, but to tell you that God would appear at a time when you most need to be encouraged, but you need to have your faith strengthened. That little incident is enough to let you know that God cares. And I want you to know that the God that we know, the God that is in us, is a God that cares for you, no matter how big, no matter how small your situation may be, whether it's external, whether it's physical, whether it's internal, God cares for you. And God is near. Every time you breathe and you just call, even though when you are not calling to Him or praying on your knees, you know, and praying in tongues over it, God knows. And that's where I'm going to bring you to the story next, all right? So do you believe in miracle? I hope you do like me. Okay, so the next is, okay. So miracles in both the Old and the New Testament had only one purpose. That was to reveal God. Again and again, you know, God is revealing that He is a good God. He's a God that cares. He's a God that is near. He's a God that is able. He's a God that is interested in you. He's a God of small details, okay? From the way I read the Bible and I just gather, this is how I feel God is, you know? And so with all of that, I want to just bring you, okay, I want to bring you to the text, okay? Okay, so with that in the background, okay, just want to set your mood, you know, to see that the God that I'm going to share with you, and as I'm going to take you through this story, is a God that indeed, a God that is very near to each of you all, okay? And He is the same. All He has done this in the New Testament concerning this man, this paralyzed man that was at the pool, He can do the same for you too. And then this is where the scripture is, all right? It says that after this, okay, there was a feast. Okay, so Jesus, Pastor took us through the miracle, the water turning into wine, okay? Pastor took us that. There was a miracle which was something extraordinary, right? And Siping took us through the miracle of the official son that was healed, okay? So today, it's the miracle of the paralytic man, the guy that was paralyzed, right? So Jesus has then been somewhere out of Jerusalem, and now He's entering Jerusalem, and He says this, that after that, there was a feast of the Jews, right? And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, okay? Jerusalem is the center of all those activities, you know, religious activities and all. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, okay, which has five roof colonnades. In there lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Okay, stop there. So it is something very illogical, okay? This guy has been at a pool for a long time, and Jesus come and ask him, "Do you want to be healed?" Okay, but let me give you a little bit of background, okay? So then, there's now this place called Bethesda, okay? Also known as the House of Mercy, House of Grace, right? So it is a House of Mercy, House of Grace. And it is believed that in this pool, if the water is stirred by the angel, and the first one that gets to the pool will get healed, okay? So now you know, huh? Okay, it says here that there lay a multitude of invalids. So that's lots of people there. It's just like during the COVID time, okay? Everybody going to the hospital, you know, the hospital was just queued up with people. Beds everywhere, even in the lobby, in the waiting area, there were beds everywhere. So imagine with me, okay? The pool of Bethesda is like that, okay? Lots of people, emergency ward, without walls, you know, without rooms, you know, and everybody out there. And then the people over there, maybe just talking to each other, maybe just disappointed, okay, whatever. But then, the thing is, I want to tell you about the place. So the place called Bethesda, okay, called a House of Mercy, okay. So a lot of time, we look to the place for our answer. We look to the place. But then the thing is, it is God in the place that makes the difference. We can come to church, week in, week out, and thinking that the church will give us the answer. Yes, the church has the presence of God, a godly presence. But sometimes we go to a place, there is a presence, but it may not be a godly presence. It may be an ungodly presence that is there. You know, those days, the older generation. So there's this place called, Bukit Metajam or somewhere, where they have got this St. Anne feast. You all heard before this St. Anne feast? And then every year there will be lots of people flogging there to receive their healing, right? And then there were times when we heard of accident happened, the ferry was, you know, overloaded, and then there were accidents. So The thing is this, I just want you all to just realize, it is not the place that will give you the healing or the miracle. It is who, and it's the person that is there. So, same, you know, with this. So the people are there, you know, the multitudes of sick people all over the place, but they're thinking that that place will give them the miracle. Yeah, it's not wrong for them to think so, because probably, you know, there were incidences of healing, you know, that has taken place. So therefore, that's where their faith is. The faith is in the place, right? Sometimes, you know, we look to man, we look to place for healing instead of looking to our God, okay? And sometimes, you know, when we come to be prayed for, you know, and then we begin to just, you know, be a little bit selective, you know, as to who. Yeah, but then God works through the people. God works through us. It is not our might, not our power, but it is the Spirit of God that is in our midst. So let me move on a little bit here. So then it says here, then there were multitude of invalids, lame, blind, paralyzed. Okay, you can imagine, right? Only that few people that get to the water that has been stirred will get well. That would be more people added on to that multitude. So you can imagine that place could probably have a stench because you've got different kind of sick people there. So day in, day out, year in, year out, the people maybe grow in number and maybe the same people are there. What do you think their attitude and what do you think they would begin to feel over time? If you were there and you just newly heard that, wow, there is a miracle, your faith could be so heightened and that you'd be so excited, you know, and then you wait. 1 week, 1 year passed, nothing happened. What do you think would happen to your faith? Your faith will begin to slowly decline, maybe not nosedive, okay? It may be slowly declining. Or you may be there for a while and you begin to just talk to people and you would probably begin to feel that, oh, this family member has come to help, but mine never appear. You begin to have self-pity. You begin to feel, you know, that it's so unfair. Or you begin to feel that, God, where are you? Discouragement sets in. You wait again over time. You become so complacent. Aiyah, whatever happened will be like, no, never mind. Like, you know, I just come and show up. Like, just go through the motion. You know, just be there. So over time, I can believe the heart condition will become so indifferent already. Whether you get healed or not, you become indifferent. And I want to say that bringing forward to our life, it can happen to us too. When you are contending for something, over time, you know, you'll be just thinking that, yes, I still believe, I still want to press on, okay? Like the song say, I want to press on. And over time, you know, you waited, then what happened? You begin to feel weary, you feel, you know, doesn't matter anymore. So you get into a mood of just accepting the condition that you are in. Just accept it. So that is why, okay, coming on next is that Jesus then asked this guy. I'm thinking, you know, the scenario, the background could be this, that Jesus asked this guy, do you want to be healed? Because the mindset of that guy is already in that way, okay? So what did the sick man say? The sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. See what his answer is like? It's not about me, you know, God. I want, no. But then nobody helped me, ma. Okay. So when the water is stirred up, and while I was going, another steps down before me. Right. So this is his argument, which is not wrong, okay, from a person that is frustrated. So I just identify with this guy, okay. Sometimes we just condemn, you know, and say this guy, you know, Jesus asked you, want to be healed? Say lah, I want to be healed. Why must you go? You know, all the stories, bear in mind, this guy don't know Jesus, huh? And so then he said, you know, with his kind of mindset and all, it is quite acceptable, if I can say, that he is already very frustrated. And the Bible says 38 years, longer than some of you all that have lived on this earth, okay? 38 years, he says he has this condition. He probably will be older than that because the Bible never said that he was that way from birth, not congenital, okay? So then he says, but then Jesus didn't argue with him or didn't correct him. You know, Jesus only said to him, gave him the instruction, said to him, get up, take your bed and walk. Okay? See, what did Jesus do? Jesus stepped in. Jesus knew his condition. And Jesus gave him the remedy, which is get up, take your bed, and walk. Okay, so a lot of time, we can identify with that as well. That we know we can argue and justify, you know, why we feel, you know, why it's that way, you know, why some people can and why we cannot. We can go justify, you know. And I think it's okay for us to be honest and frank with God. Because God knows you, okay? Your innermost being, whatever you think God knows, you think you can hide from God, it is no secret from God. So that even as he said that, Jesus already knew and said, take up your bed and walk. Now, I want to say this, you know, as we already know the story that is here. A lot of time, we may be so lost because, you know, things just don't turn up. It don't happen the way that, you know, we so expected it to be. Okay, the word of God says, ask and you shall receive. God, I've asked, I didn't receive. Why? Okay, so like I said, some miracles may be instantaneous, but some are a journey. Why a journey? Because God is doing a work in us and it's work in progress. There were people who would, you know, just question our faith. But then if you just go on, I want to talk about, okay, the place I shared about the place. I shared about the paralyzed man, his state of mind. Now I want to talk about Jesus. So when Jesus looked at each of you all, whether it is your physical condition that, you know, has been a huge challenge to you, and you think, God, maybe you overlook me, God. Maybe, God, you know, I have been so short of faith. Okay, that's why I didn't get my miracle. Or maybe you think that, God, maybe there's some sin in me, God, that has kept you from giving me my miracle. You may have a lot of debate in your mind, you know, to just explain why you are not getting that. But look, when Jesus said to that man, get up, take the bed and walk, I believe Jesus wants to bring him back to the focus of his condition. Not about the people around him that has disappointed him, not about the many, many excuses or reasons that he has, but God just wanted to take him back to the issue of your condition and also to focus on him, because he's now before the man and to tell the man that you are healed. See? So let's, if we have been contending for a miracle and it has seemed to be so far in coming to where we are praying and hoping for, can we begin to relook at ourselves and begin to realign our focus back to who the miracle giver is. Who is the promise keeper? Who is the one that is the way maker? Can we come back to that? The way maker is not the place. It is not the people that God... Yes, God can send people, but ultimately, each of us must know that it is him that works through people that brings the miracle into your life. And God is able to do that for this man. And he's able to do it because, you know, when I was young, there was this song that says, there is no secret what God can do for you. Okay, it's a very nice song. What he has done for others, he can do it for you. With hands wide open, he receives you. So it is no secret. Sometimes we envy, oh, you know, you get it, lah, you know, but I'm not. Maybe, you know, God, you know, don't love me enough. Okay, we have got all these things. But if you would just persevere and if you would just be steadfast, you'll know that God is a faithful God. So when God steps in, miracle happen. Miracle happen, not just the external, okay, it can be external. But miracle happen in order that we be wholesome, all right? Okay, I like this, okay? You know, when God heals us, it's not just, you know, in order to make us feel good and then you just carry on and over time we forget, you know, and then when I ask any testimony, we all forget, you know, no testimonies. But then miracle happened in order to build us, to make us healthy, body, physical, soul, the emotion, the mind, the will, and the spirit. This man at the pool at Bethesda, his spirit could have been so far away from God. There could have been just no relationship, no desire for God at all. It could be, okay? But God desire for each of us that we be wholesome, okay? In our mind, you know, that we will not be just filled with anger, you know, filled with envy, you know, just filled with unforgiveness. No, God wants us to be healthy, that the mind will not be filled with battles going on, you know, challenging people, challenging God on your own. No, God wants us to be healthy in our mind. Our emotions, never emotions, you know, that will be just filled, you know, of just different kind of, you know, feeling, you know, sometimes just feeling offended, you know, feeling just, you know, upset with people. No, God wants us to be wholesome. And more so, God wants us to be healthy in our spirit. That we are able to just come to God, you know, enjoy His presence, worshiping Him, reading His word, encouraged, you know, from what He's saying, obeying Him. God wants us, and that is the wholesome life that God wants us to live. And so, this other thing, okay, it says in John 3, 1 to 2, it says that John said, okay, beloved, I pray that in all things that thou mayest prosper, okay, this prosper need not necessarily be material prosperity, is prospering in your soul and your spirit, you know, where you can just enjoy the fullness of life that God has promised to us. That God says that I have come to give you life and life abundantly. Very often when we talk about abundant, we always think that must have a big car, nice house, you know, go holidays, you know, travel, have plenty of cash, have beautiful meal. No, the abundant life is having the wholesome life, you know, where you can have a healthy relationship, enjoying laughter, encouraging, pointing people to God, just able to serve one another, no offenses, be humble before anyone. That is the wholesome life that God wants us to live. And I want to just end with a testimony. And okay, wait. I think I got someone, one more thing. So there is the other part. There is the other part that Jesus said to him. And then Jesus said to that guy, you know, see that you are well. No, not this one. One some more. See that you are well. Go and sin no more. Unless something worse happened to you than before. Okay. You know, this verse is very important to us because sometimes we have a lifestyle that may not be pleasing to God. Sometimes we may have made decisions that has ended us up in situation which, you know, we struggle with. Or sometimes, you know, we have got areas in our life where we find that, you know, we are not able to overcome. It could be addiction, you know, it could be just, you know, some different things that we battle with. Jesus knew this guy probably could have some sin which have landed him in that condition. So God said to him, go and sin no more. How then can you live a life that is truly, you know, acceptable, godly, live a life close to God? And that's where we need to call. We need to call, come to God, you know, draw near to Him. Yes, have your faith activated, you know. Yes, things may not just suddenly change, but trust Him fully, regardless, okay? Regardless of whatever, trust Him, hang on, press in. You see your miracle. I want to just end with one story. I've got lots of story, but I want to share this story, which I think is pertinent to this sharing. There's this brother that we know of that has come to our healing ministry for prayer. He's called Brother Gary. And a few years ago, he had a condition on his leg, the chin and the calf. So there was a wound there. Asked us to pray, and then we prayed, and then somehow, you know, he was pointed to go refer to a specialist. When he went to the specialist, he went to the GP. So the GP referred him to a specialist. And so the GP, see, God is a God that is so, I tell you, amazing. So when he was told to go and see a specialist, he decided to go to Sunray Medical Center. But then the doctor told him, no, I think you should go to Putrajaya Hospital. And so then he said that there's a good doctors there and all. But God already knew why he was pointed to go to Putrajaya. When he went to Putrajaya, he was referred to the head of orthopedic, okay? And the doctors saw him, told him that he need to be amputated. The leg need to be amputated, knee and below. And so he cried out to God, you know, he was angry, you know, but nevertheless, there's no choice before the rest of his body get infected. So when he was wheeled, the following day, he was wheeled into the OT, and when he was in the OT, what happened was, it was supposed to be an amputation that takes 45 minutes, very easy. Some doctors here will know, just cut, chop, and then out you go. But then the thing is, the operation took like 2.5 hours, okay, when he came out. And so then the doctor told him, the specialist told him that they decided to save his leg. So it was not amputated, but they need to just cut out the flesh, you know, from the calf and all, which is infected and has all the abscess, you know, so I have to cut. So that's why he got to scrape and scrape, and so it took a long time. 48 hours after that, his ankle and below was all black, okay? I think doctors will know because of blood circulation, the capillaries and things like that. And so the doctor said, okay, now need to go in for operation to cut the ankle and below. Okay, and then another, okay. So the first one was already one miracle, saved from the knee and below, one miracle, okay. So I'm trying to tell you that, you know, miracle can happen. Sometimes it's a journey, okay. Miracle can happen, but it may not come pain-free, okay. Miracle can happen, but you still be in agony, right? So then went in again for the old operation, and what happened? Again, it took a very long time. This time, the specialist decided to again remove all the dead, infected, you know, flesh and cell and all of that, you know. But then the recovery journey was really painstaking. Okay, it was long. Can you imagine, your calf here, which usually has a nice bulge here, you know, all of it has been removed. It's just like a hollow there, okay? And so you can imagine that it's all cell, nerves, and all that is, okay, doctors will know. And it's extremely painful. His healing journey, the doctor told him at least it would take a year, okay? And it was morphine after morphine to take away the pain, you know. It was sleepless nights because his diabetes was like 30, you know, the count of 30 when normal people are 5, 6, that kind of thing. And so, but then again, it was a miracle. He considered it a miracle when his ankle and below was saved. But it didn't come with just, you know, a snap finger and everything restored, flesh returned and all that, like it was in the Bible days. So throughout that journey, God just gave him favor after favor. The whole operation, which was like, you know, private hospital, you know, it was free. Okay, God gave him the best surgeon ever, the number one, Otto in Putrajaya. The healing process, because he was diabetes, okay, God gave him a consultant doctor who journeyed with him weekly, you know, weekly for months. Finally, you know, the pain was really unbearable, sleepless nights, not able to move and different kind of things. Then people, God used people, introduced him some herbal thing. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, the herbs are for our, the plants are for our healing. And he was introduced to that. And his recovery suddenly took a turn, okay? Today, he is walking with both legs on the ground. He just, you know, attribute it to God that has given him miracle every step of the way. And God prepared it every step, okay? From the finance aspect, from the specialist aspect, from the healing aspect, God prepared every step of the way. I want to tell you that when God works, sometimes you don't know how. All you need to do is just hang on, believing that God is with you and God will carry you through. Like I said, it was not something which the healing was not something which was free of pain. It was not. He struggled too. He had sleepless nights. He had. But today, after I think maybe 4 years, that kind of period, he walks around, he visits us, he have meals with us, he laughs, he jokes with us. That is a miracle. And God can do that miracle for each of you. Whether it's a big one, whether it's a small one, God is the same. And like I say, this is no secret. What God has done for our brother Gary, God can do for you. Because he's no respecter of person. And the word in 1 Corinthians says that eyes have not seen, neither has the ears heard, neither has your mind conceived, your heart conceived, the things that God can do for you who loved him. And in Psalms 103, forgiveness of sin is very, very important. It says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within him. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Forget not his benefits. God has healed you. God has saved you. God has given you miracle. Forget not his benefits. For he forgives our iniquities and heals our diseases. So, as you ask God for forgiveness, he forgives our iniquities and heals our diseases. See, this is the God that today we have in us, Emmanuel. He lives in us. He is bothered about you. He's close to you. He's with you. He is in the midst of us. That is what our God is, an amazing God. So I want to challenge you, even as you close your eyes, you may be going through a struggle, which you just feel that, God, I want to give up. Could be like the man, you know, at the pool of Bethesda. Could be like that man. The mind giving you so many reasons, you know, to just want to give up. Okay. But Jesus, among the whole multitude of people, Jesus picked him. Jesus saw him. Jesus restored his faith and asked him, get up, take your bed and walk. Jesus is still the same then and today. He can do the same for you. So today, I want you to, in your own heart, as you tell God of that situation or that condition that you're in, God, can you do the same for me? God, I want to draw near to you. I want to come to you. I want to see that miracle. God, you are a miracle working God. God, it is possible. God, you can bring that victory into my life, that breakthrough. Yes, God, you can. You can. Because God, you are not just a God of the Almighty, but God, you are the God that looks into details, the small matters, God. You look into all of that. Because God, you love us. While we in our mother's womb, you already know us. You know every step. You know what is before us. You know God. And God is a God that is involved in our life. There is a divine intervention available for us. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, God, for all that you are, God. Today, we ask, oh God, Lord, that you will just cause us to turn our eyes and look to you. If we have looked away, we have strayed away, God. God, we look to you now. We believe, God, that you are able to do the same, God, for us in our situation. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen, amen.